want to read a verse in Psalms 51. And then, if you would, turn to the book of 1 John, chapter number 1. 1 John, chapter number 1. We'll read a verse of Scripture here in the book of Psalms 51. Psalms 51, verse number 10. The Bible said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Let's read that one more time. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Seemed like the psalmist David wanted his life cleaned up. He was asking the Lord to take and put in his heart a clean heart, in his life a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within him. He wanted God's help. He wanted to be right out in the sight of God. And then in the book of 1 John, if you would, look with me in the book of 1 John, a familiar passage of Scripture here that we'll take and look at. The Bible said this in 1 John, I mean 2 John. Let me turn back to 1 John. And 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 7, he said, "If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." I'm glad God fixed a way we could be cleansed, Brother Mike, from all sin. I mean, anything that comes in our life, God said he'd take and clean it up for us. But look, if you would, in verse number 9 of 1 John, chapter number 1, the Bible said in verse number 9, said, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us." There's that word cleanse again. "And cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In other words, God said, Brother Cole, that he could take and cleanse us from all sin out of his blood and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to preach tonight, if God would help me on this little thought, keeping our life clean in 2014. I never thought that we'd got this far, but I tell you, I thought, Brother Goolsby, I thought before we ever got out of the 90s, the Lord would come and get us and take us home. And here we are now, 14 years, almost into this 2000, I guess, century, whatever it is. And I'll tell you, I never thought that we had reached this far. But yet, here we are now, and God has fixed the way. I'll tell you how he saved us and his Son. I paid that sin debt that's been preached, but yet God has fixed a way that we can take and keep our life clean in the eyes of God. I believe he wants us to, and he fixed it to where we could. God has made a way that we can take and keep our life clean. So I don't know about you. I'll tell you, this preaching that I've heard, I'll tell you, last night, Brother Massingale, that stirred my heart. This morning, it makes me want to keep my life clean, and that I can do more for God in 2014 than I ever have. And I'll tell you, we might not get out of 2014 the way things are shaping up, but I'll tell you, I want to be ready when that trumpet sounds, praise God. I want to be ready. I want to face God with my life clean. I'll tell you, as good as I can, for the glory of God. We can look at some that did. I'll tell you, Moses, how he did. And I'll tell you, God used him on the backside of the desert. I'll tell you, taking care of his father-in-law's flock, his cattle, his sheep. And I'll tell you, out there, I'll tell you, just trying to do what he could. And all of a sudden, I'll tell you, he saw a bush on fire. And I'll tell you, he's seen them burn before. But he kept a looking. And he kept a looking. And I'll tell you, the bush was a burning. But it wasn't consumed. In the fire. And he'd been walked closer to it. And I'll tell you, the voice began to come out of that burning bush. And said, "Moses, I'll take your shoes off." He said, "The ground you're walking on is holy ground." Can I tell you tonight, God has still got some holy ground. And he needs some holy people how to take and walk on that ground. That's already been said about Daniel. I'll tell you, purposed in his heart that he wouldn't take and defile. I'll tell you, himself with the king's meat. I'll tell you, we need some people in our day had a purpose in their heart that they ain't going to take and get their lives messed up. How they going to keep her clean that God can take and use them. And God used Daniel. And God used the Hebrew 3. And I'll tell you, God can use you and me. I tell you, if we'll keep our life clean and purpose in our heart, then we'll take and do it for the glory of God. Well, not only men, but I'll tell you, we can live reading the Bible where the women kept their life clean. I know this is used to preach around Christmas, but I believe you can preach in the middle of July and the 1st of August, amen, and all other times of the year. There's a little lady by the name of Mary. This where it gets a modernist, Brother Grissom, and I'll tell you, hey, she kept our life clean for the glory of God. And when it comes time for God to send his son through a virgin womb, listen, God began to speak to her, and she said, how can these things be? I've kept my life clean. I've never known a man. And said they, this thing shall be conceived by the Holy Ghost of God. And God used her. I know there's not going to be another Jesus. I'll be born. But can I tell you, God, I can take and use. I'll tell you, young ladies and older ladies, for the glory of God, if you'll keep your life clean, God, I can use you. Amen. I remember reading there, again, the book of 1 Samuel. I won't turn there, but in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1, verses 10 down through verse number 18, where Hannah, listen, wanted a child. Brother Mike, and she I prayed, she was barren, and they went up to do the rituals and their sacrifices. And I'll tell you, she came. I'll tell you, began to take and pray, and got down to pray, and her mouth moved, but no words would come out. And I'll tell you, hey, the man in charge, I thought she's drunk. And she said, I ain't been a drinking. And she said, I've got a burden. I've kept my life clean. And she said, I want a man child. And if God give me a man child, I'll take him, wean him, and give him back to God all the days of my life. I'll tell you something, the best praying I've ever got done, that's when I got down and I was so humble. I was talking about him, broken. No words would come out. Have tears falling down to the floor. But can I tell you tonight, God, I know the intents of the heart. And I'll tell you, hey, and she got what she wanted from God because she kept her life clean for the glory of God. And others we could look at tonight. But I thought about this. Listen, in the time that we live, if we want to be used for God, and I've always heard this, and I'll tell you, y'all probably don't have people like this. Here in Indiana, we got them down there in Kentucky. And I'll tell you, they've told me, listen, they'll say, God, I won't use unclean vessel. I said, where you find that out? They said, the Bible. I've never found that verse. Again, a chapter. Again, the verse in the Bible. But I'll tell you, I can find some verses that'll back it up. I want to tell you tonight, Mitchum, if we're going to be used of God, and we want the power of God on our life, and we want to see God use our churches, again, the day that we live, it's not the building that God's looking at, it's the souls that's standing in the building that God's looking at, that we're going to have to take and keep our life clean. And it's for the glory of God that God might be able to use us and things to see things happen for the glory of God. Well, hallelujah tonight. How that God fix it where we can keep our life clean. Let me ask you tonight, how clean is your life in the eyes of God? Now we don't have a we got a TV, we use it for a monitor and all, but we don't have no cable, we don't have no satellite, but I'll tell you, back a few years ago, we had one, and they have them commercials, I'll tell you, where they used to advertise that cleaning stuff, and where they take and put on them white gloves after they got through a cleaning, and they take and see if they could find any dirt, any dust. I wonder tonight, the holy God that we serve, the one that saved us, I would put on them white gloves and come searching around our heart and our soul and our life. I wonder what he'd find. I want to tell you, it's going to take something besides Mr. Clean to get our life clean for the glory of God. I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take us humbling ourselves down under the mighty hand of God that the brothers already preached about, and come to God and ask him to take and cleanse us and forgive us, that we might be clean against the eyes of God. that he might take and use us for his honor and his glory. Well, look back if you would. Let me give you two or three more things. Listen, by the way of introduction, I'll give you the message and we'll be done. Look, if you will, in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, how we talked about Moses a while ago. Let's look in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 just for a moment tonight. Look, if you would, again, the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, and speaking about Moses, look, if you would, in verse number 23. The Bible says this, I said by faith Moses, when he was born, I was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and that and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. I wish we had some more parents like that today, praise God, that's not afraid to do what God would have us to do. I believe it's Brother Massengale preaching, listen, talking, and then his message. And I thought, Brother Cole, I get some talents. How many young preachers and missionaries and people of God that could have been, that's been aborted over these last few years? They tell me maybe some 60-something million. Listen, little babies that's been murdered, and they call it abortion because they greed after the money. Can I tell you, it's some talents. How many there could have been preachers and missionaries and missionaries' wives that could have been, and yet they've been aborted. But these parents saw that he's a proper child and went out and hid him. I'll tell you, hey, thank God for that. Well, look, if you would, in verse number 24. The Bible said by faith, Moses, when he was come to the years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I put it like this. Listen, when he come to the years, he refused. He refused that title they could put on him. He could have been next in command. I'll tell you, down there in Egypt. But I'll tell you what, he'd rather have the touch of God on his life than have a title that the world could take and put on you. You know what our problem is? We're looking for a title. I'll tell you, we don't need a title, praise God. I'm going to tell you what we need. We need the touch of God on our life. I'll tell you what's to get in the way. Brother Robbie, it was back a few years ago. We've heard people talk about it. Listen, thank God, I'm glad I've got some memories back there in the past. But I won't tell you, God's still the same God. He ain't changed. Somebody said, what the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. They was living a clean life that deep back then, and we're not living as clean. I'll tell you, as God wants us to, I'll tell you what, if we'll take and do what God says, God, I will bless once again. Amen. He said, I'll tell you what. He says, you can have that title. I think I'll just have the touch of God on my life. I say, praise the Lord. It used to be when people knowed if a man of God had a touch on his life or not. And now we're living in a time where the man don't know it and the people sitting in the pew don't know it. And you say, how you know, preacher? I remember Samson. I'll tell you, one of the strongest men how we could take and read about in the Word of God. I don't believe he's a macho man. I believe he's just a little skinny man. I believe he's just short. I'll tell you, hey, look like a weakling. But when God come upon him, I praise God, reached down to get a jawbone of a mule and slew 1,000. I want to tell you, listen, it wasn't him. It was God using him. Amen. I'll tell you, take the gates of the city and tear them up on the hill and set them down, praise God. But watch this, how he started taking and doing things that God did not want him to do. And finally, in his disobedience, I'll tell you, Brother Mike, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get up and shake myself and do what I've done before. And watch this, he wist not that the power of God would go. I want to tell you tonight, friend, it used to be when people noticed it, and now we're in such a shape, we don't even know if we got a touch of God or not. But can I tell you, God knows, and God wants to put a touch upon our life. Amen. Moses said, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to refuse a title, just give me the touch of God. What did you rather have tonight? I'm telling you, I'm just a little country fella. I got saved when I was 11 years old. Brother Cole, I'll tell you, this past Sunday, I believe it was, Sunday before, I'd been saved 51 years. God bless you. I know it don't look like I'm that old, but I said, praise God, I got saved when I was young. I'm glad I did. Brother Patton, all I'd hate to be lost and undone. Again, the day that we live and such mixed up people that we have, I'll tell you, they said, I hear back a few days ago, when they was getting ready to do Ramadan, I said there's 1.6 billion Muslims getting ready to participate in that. I'll tell you, fast from sunrise to sunset, I won't eat, won't smoke. I said, hey, that's more than we can do as Baptists. But I'll tell you, they don't even have a God. They don't know the God of heaven. And we do. And yet we'd rather have something out there in the world than to have a touch of God on our life. I know it's not too popular, but I'm going to tell you the truth, ain't I? How long has it been since you had a touch on your life? I'm going to tell you, even young people, Lord, I remember the first time I shouted. I remember the first time I testified. I was back when in bashful. But I'll tell you, we got back in church in 1974, out of the month of July. And I'll tell you, they started working on the church. I'll tell you, before they did, the revival broke out. And I'll tell you, my wife was one of them lost church members. I'm talking about a touch of God now. And I'll tell you, them old ladies would shout and praise God. And she'd come home of a night. Nobody told her anything. And she'd sit down. And that black chair beside the door, and tears running down her face. And Brother John, this is what she said. I said, what's wrong with you? And she said, them people at church has got something I ain't got. I want to tell you, I mentioned the touch of God makes a difference. I'll tell you, Moses knew what the touch of God was. Now we're living in a time we don't even know. This younger, if God's people don't clean their life up and our churches get back where we need to be, have this younger generation will ever see what we've seen in our day, Brother Cole. I'll tell you, I wish my grandchildren get around it. I'd like to see my sons and my daughter-in-laws around it once again, praise God. I'll tell you, I long to see one more revival before God comes and takes us out. I want to tell you, friend, God can still do it. I'm telling you, God can. It'll come through us. It'll come through us. It'll come through us. Well, I've got to hurry. I see in verse number 23 and 24, Moses refused the title of the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look, if you will, in verse number 25, the Bible said this. He said, But he said in verse number 24, but faith, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In verse number 25, he said, but choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. I put it like this, in verse number 25, he refused the thrill of sin. I'll tell you, rather than the take and go, listen, with the people there in Egypt. In other words, he could have had, I'm telling you, he could have done anything that he wanted to do. According to the word of God, he choose rather to suffer the afflictions with people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's been a lot said about sin. I will tell you, God still hates sin. I will tell you, we might not preach against it the way we used to, but can I tell you, God still hates it as much as he ever had. I'll tell you what took him to the cross. The sin of people like you, me and you. I'm telling you, God still hates sin. But in the day we live, it seems like we'd rather have the sin and the pleasure that goes with it than to take and suffer a little bit for the cause of Christ. Well, help us, Lord. I'm going to tell you, we're not as good as what we think we are. We might be in the eyes of men and in the eyes of the church, but I want to tell you, in the eyes of God, and hey, one day after a while, we're going to have to stand before Him. And when we do, it's just going to be us and Him. Ain't going to be nobody else around. And I want to tell you, we're going to have to give an account of why we did and why we didn't do the things that He wanted us to do. I'm telling you, our instant sin is killing us in our services today. Well, look in verse number 26. I'm trying to hurry. Look in verse number 26. He said this, said, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. I put it like this for alliteration's sake. How Moses refused the treasure that Satan had to offer. I want to tell you, listen, hey, he could have everything that was down out there in Egypt. I want to tell you, Egypt's a type and a shadow of the world. I want to tell you, it seems like that we're living in a day where people had rather have the things in the world than have the things of God. I can't understand that. I can't understand it. I want to tell you, and I know that we have to have money to get by in. I believe it's Brother Epps. I said this morning, somebody said, it won't get you far, but I'll tell you, it'll get you. It's a little further down the road. Amen. I want to tell tonight, friend, it's not the treasures of this world that we ought to be interested in. I'll tell you what we ought to be interested in. I've laid up treasures over on the other side. Where thieves can't break through and steal. Where moles can't take and get to. We need somebody they'll take and put some treasures I'll set up on the other side. Moses said, I'll tell you what, just forget about that. I refuse to take that. He said, I'll tell you what I want. He said, I just want the blessings of God on my life. I want to tell you, there's some things that money can't buy. Now, I'll tell you, it'll pay your electric bill. It'll put food on your table, gas in your automobile. I keep your taxes paid up. But I won't tell you, when you come in the house of God, keep your tithes paid up. But I won't tell you, when you come in the house of God, God ain't going to look how much money you got in your pocket. He's not looking at your checkbook. I'm going to tell you what He's looking at. He's looking for a soul. I'll tell you, that's been clean in His eyes. Where He could take and put a blessing upon it. I want to tell you, money cannot buy the blessings and that of God. Amen. You talk to some people and they think it can. The night I got saved, I didn't have a cent in my pocket. The best I can remember, Brother Cole, I had patches on my breeches, holes in my shoes. And I'll tell you, I didn't have none. My dad didn't either. And if it took a new pair of shoes, I never got it. I had a birthday last month over in the meeting. And they took me up enough money to buy me some shoes. Praise God, I'm going to give me some of them Murphy Johnson, Johnson Murphys. What they are. I never had a pair of them. But I won't tell you, I've seen time that we didn't have no shoes to wear. We had to go barefoot. Can I tell you, listen, friend, there's something better than food and raiment. Listen, and money and treasures and silver and gold. There's something that money can't buy. And the only way you can get it is through God. Amen. Through the Lord. Well, if it took education, I'd been left out, and my dad would have too. If it took finances, I'd have been left out, and my dad would have too. But I won't tell you, it didn't take finances. I'll tell you what it took. It took as much of His blood to cleanse me as it did the vilest of sinners. I want to tell you, money can't buy that. But He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give it to you free when you come my way. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I want to tell you, listen now, thieves kept our life clean, and God blessed them. I want to tell you, if we're going to get the blessing of God, we're going to have to keep our life clean. You agree with that tonight? Ain't you glad that God took and fixed away? I'll tell you, even in Psalmist David's day, I create in me a clean heart. He said, I want to be clean. In the eyes of God, he said, I want the right spirit. Put the right spirit within me. Somebody said, that's Old Testament, but look at the New Testament. In the book of 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9, he said, if we'll confess our sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what He promised. Amen. I like the promises of God, don't you? Well, it's been a while since I've been to school, so I got my dictionary down. I looked up that word refuse. This is what the dictionary said. It said to take and reject. Yeah. One definition said to deny. One definition said to turn down. One definition said to say no to. Yeah. You know what Moses is doing? He was saying no out of what Pharaoh was trying to push and the people in Egypt was trying to push. I mentioned he said no to that. In other words, he was refusing that. I want to tell you, there's some things that a child of God is just going to have to say no to. If we want the blessings of God, there's some things that we're just going to have to take and refuse in our life if we want to see God take and move once again. Well, let me give you two or three things tonight. My time's about up. Let me give you two or three things tonight that I feel like we're going to have to refuse. If we're going to see the power of God and the blessings of God on our life, if we want to shout in our heart, there are some things we're going to have to say no to and say yes to Jesus. And I'll tell you, hasten on and go to heaven when this life is over. Let me give them to you tonight. I thought about this, Brother Epps. I thought about this. If we're going to have a clean life, I thought about this. We're going to have to refuse. Have to listen to the devil. Somebody said, can he talk? If you listen to him, he can talk. I don't know if he has an audible voice. I don't think he does. But I'm going to tell you, everything that God's ever done, he's bought. And I'll tell you, we read in the Bible about that still small voice that God can take and speak and move upon. Can I tell you, the devil, he'll take and talk to you if you listen to him. I'm telling you, the day that we live, we're going to have to refuse to listen out of what the devil has to say.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. I ain't run out of anything to say. Let that soak in for a minute. Somebody said, you preach fast. Well, praise God. I had to. I was on the radio about 20 years or so. I just had 15 minutes, so I'll try to get as much in as I could. I give 15 minutes, and I won't tell you now. I'll listen to what the Bible says about the devil. Look in the book of John, chapter number 8. If I can find it here, I'll read it to you. If not, I'll quote it to you in the book of John, chapter number 8, and verse number 44. I notice what the Bible says, and that about the devil. And the Bible said, ye are of your father of the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because the Bible said, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Tell me tonight, why would we want to take and listen to somebody that don't even have the truth? And it's a liar, that's always a liar. Why would a child of God want to listen to him? Don't understand that, but I'll tell you, you can look again the book of Matthew, chapter number 4, verses 1 down through verse number 11, again the book of Luke, chapter number 4, verses 1 down through verse number 13, and I'll tell you, when Jesus went out of the wilderness, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, I'll tell you, I've said, when it's over and it began to come out, you know who met him? I'll tell you, old devil, old slewfoot himself, Brother Cole, I tell you, he began to take and talk to him, and he said, if I'll be the Son of God, I command these stones to be made bread. Well, you know, he could have. I'll tell you, if he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 men, plus the women and children, praise God, he could have turned every stone out there around there into bread. But this is what he said. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want to tell you tonight, listen, friend, what we need to do, have Jesus used the word of God on him. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to use the word of God on him and tell him he's a liar and the father of it. He can't speak the truth. We're going to have to quit and let's stand after the devil refuse to do it. Amen. Somebody said, well, it's easy to preach and hard to practice. Well, we can practice enough. We can get used to it. Amen. Huh? We say no to everybody else. Would you want to teach Sunday school? No, I don't think I want to do that. Want to sing a song? No, I don't think I want to sing. Now, you don't have people up here like this. We got them all down there in Kentucky. But I won't tell you, it's hard to get people. I want to say yes out of something. But yet, listen, the very one we should say no to, we don't. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to refuse to listen to the devil if we're going to keep our life clean in 2014. I'll tell you what Joshua said in the book of Joshua chapter 24. Verse number 15, they were talking about the gods over yonder and the gods over here. He said, choose you this day whom you serve. He said, but for me and my house, we're going to take and serve God. Amen. He said, there ain't no question about it. We don't have to have conference, praise God. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to take and serve God. Amen. Take and serve God. That's what we ought to be doing anyway, ain't it? Well, praise the Lord. Let me hasten on. The second thing that I say, not only are we going to have to refuse to let to the devil, but I thought about this. We're going to have to refuse to live a defeated life. I believe if we quit listening to the devil, we'd solve about 99.99% of our problems. You know where they're coming from. God ain't the one that's causing us problems. I want to tell you, I believe it takes and solve most of our problems if we'll take and quit listening out to the devil. And I believe if we do that, Brother Robbie, I'll tell you, I believe it'd be easier for us to take and live a victorious life. So many people today is living a defeated life. You talk to them, they say they're saved by the grace of God, but you never know it. When you're talking to them and looking at them, I'm telling you, just a frown, and it looks like so many of them's got so bitter and bad on God. And you say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through with. Praise God, get in line. We're all going through some things. Amen. God didn't say he's going to take his old saying is and have a bed of roses. But I tell you what he did promise us. He said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you all the way even to the end. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you. God's promised us. He'd be with us. As he's with us, I'll tell you, we've got victory. Amen. Church has got a right name. Sometimes we sing that song, y'all sang it up here, Victory in Jesus. And I'll tell you, sometimes people are saying that out to the top of their voice, but yet they ain't got no victory down their soul. I'll tell you, they'll sing it, but they ain't got it. I'll tell you, we shouldn't sing until we have it. I won't tell you, God fix it where we can have victory back in our life. God don't want us to live a defeated life. God still wants us to have victory. The battle's already won. We sang it tonight, praise God, we're saved. By the grace of God, we've got victory. I said, thank God for the victory that I have. I'm glad that Jesus paid our price. I've got victory over death, hell, and the grave. And when he saved us, I'll tell you what he done. He gave us victory over death, hell, and the grave. I'm going to tell you, we've got victory. In Jesus, amen. Victory. I hope you've got it tonight. If not, you come to a good place. I'll tell you to get it. Well, praise the Lord tonight. We're living in a day where there's so much defeat. I'll tell you, but if you're going to take and live a victorious life, you've got to be saved. And I'll tell you, I believe that's one of the problems. A lot of people don't even know if they're saved or not. How are you going to have victory if you don't know you're saved or not? And somebody told me, they say, well, preacher, you ain't going to know it till you get there. I beg to differ with you on that. I'll tell you, praise God, I know where I'm going because I know where I've been. Amen. I said, praise God, tonight I'm thankful that God can take and give you the assurance. I'll tell you that's been saved, born again in the family. I'll tell you, God, hallelujah, and for salvation, amen. For salvation. You are saved, ain't you?
Yeah,
amen. Well, praise the Lord for being saved by the grace of God. Let me say this, now hasten on. This flesh will try to defeat you. Now let me say this, and I guess it's already been said this week, Brother Nichols. This flesh has never been saved. You hear me tonight? This flesh has never been saved. You say, oh, preacher, what's been saved? That down on the inside, according to Ephesians chapter number 2, how that was once dead in trespass and sin. And I'll tell you, the Bible said how that when the Lord saved us, he quickened us. In other words, that word quicken means to be made alive. I won't tell you what he done. He made me alive on the inside. Hey, I'm thankful that there's something living in me. Sometimes it's flesh. I'll tell you, it's dead. But I'm glad that God put something inside me that's alive tonight. It's alive. I'm going to tell you, hey, God's alive. Hey, it's alive. It's alive. God, please. It's alive. Something inside of us. Hey, it's alive. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm thankful that He fixed it where we're alive. I'll never die. Amen. Used to sing that old song, I'll never die, just be promoted. I'm thankful God give us our life, eternal life, praise the Lord. And so the flesh, I will try to defeat you. How the flesh will talk to you too. Do you know that? Now, I know how it is to work at a factory and try to take and preach and go to church. Brother Grisham, I worked at a factory almost 22 years, 21.8 years. Now, I tell you, sometimes it's mandatory to work 10 hours a day. Now, I tell you, I pastored the church. Matter of fact, pastored two of them what time I was working at the factory. But can I tell you, listen, I could take and go home. If I had a bad day at the factory, if I get a cussing, if I get something thrown at me, I tell you, it seemed like it's always on Wednesday. I tell you where you have to go to church. And I'm telling you, you get so mad and upset. Brother Epps talked about having a temper. I used to have a little temper. I believe a man of God ought to have a little temper every now and then. But I'll tell you, I'd get kind of riled myself. And upset, and I'd get in the car, clock out, go to home. Lord, I've got to try to preach. Tonight, would you help me? How would you help me? I want to tell you, and the flesh would say, call somebody, sit down, recline, pull the handle back, and rest.
Yeah, amen.
Nobody will miss you.
Yeah, come on.
You ever get up on Sunday morning with a headache? With your ankle hurting? I believe most people get sick on Sunday morning more than they do every day, any other day of the week. I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm just telling you how it is. Why, I'll tell you, if I need to get up early, I can get up early. Makes no difference what day of the week. Come Sunday morning, we just got one bathroom. We try to get my wife up to get ready first. She won't. She says, go ahead. And then both of us in there trying to take and get ready at the same time. I'll tell you, if you don't watch yourself, you'll be at one another before you ever get to the house of God. Before you ever leave house. I'll tell you, you'll be without one another. I'll tell you, just talking and saying things that you wouldn't know. And then, when you get to the house of God, walk in. After the house of God, and the pastor shake your hand. How you doing today? Oh, we're doing good, preacher. We're doing real good. There for about 3 years, we lived in a motor home. And I'll tell you, on Sunday morning, both of us trying to get down that little hallway at the same time. I'm trying to get in the bathroom at the same time. I won't tell you, friend, how them things ain't made for a preacher and his wife. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, the flesh. The devil will use the flesh. I'm telling you, the devil will use the flesh. I'm trying to take and defeat you before our God can bless you.
And
all the time the Lord's saying, I'll clean you up. I'll give you a clean life. Well, praise the Lord. You don't know what I'm talking about. I've seen some of you shaking head, looking at your wife. You know I'm telling you the truth. Well, I'm telling you, we're going to have to refuse to live a defeated life. If we want somebody to say, well, preacher, what are you going to do? Praise God, do like Jesus done. He gave him the scripture. Hey, I talked to your flesh. How about the scripture? Memorize some of them. You say, well, I looked in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. And the Bible said I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hey, it's not within myself. It's what God can do. I'll tell you through us. I looked in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. I said, greater is He that's in you than he's in the world. I'm going to tell you tonight, God has given us victory. And we don't even know what victory is. Heck anymore. We're used to living a defeated life. Well, help us, Lord. If we're going to take and live a victorious life for God, we're going to have to keep our life clean for the glory of God. Well, let me give you this. I thought about this. If we're going to take and live a clean life, we're going to have to refuse to leave your desire for your first love. Now, if you'll have it in the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, you have the introduction. Chapter number 2, chapter number 3, you have the letters to the seven churches. Chapter number 4, I believe you got the rapture of the church. First verse or two there. But Brother Cole, I read there in the book of Revelation chapter number 2, if you'll have it, he's talking to the church of Ephesus. And he began to tell them, I listened about what they was doing. And Brother Mike, he told them what they were doing. And then he said, I've got somewhat against you. Watch this. This is what he said. He said, you don't love me like this. This is Lockhart terminology. You don't love me like you used to.
Amen.
You know, the old country singer used to sing that song, why don't you love me like you used to do? I tell you, it's in the Word of God before we ever got a hold of it. I tell you what he's telling them people there. I tell you, the church of Ephesus, like he was telling them, why don't you love me like you used to? And I'll tell you, Brother Massengale was preaching last night. I will tell you, sometimes I wonder why our people come to church. I wonder why my pastor preached a message on this, hey, some time ago. Brother Goolsby knows him. He's been to church. And I'll tell you, hey, he said, I wonder why sometimes people come to church. If we don't come because we love the Lord, we come for our own reason. If we don't come, if we don't read our Bible because we love the Lord enough to take and read it, we're reading it for the wrong reason. I'm going to tell you, if we don't do it because we love Him, hey, it's not going to count back in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Somebody said, well, you have to go to church. No, don't have to. I get to. What a privilege it is to go to church. Well, glory to God. And I thought there's some things how we could say about this, but I want to tell you, listen, friend, we got to take and get back out of where we love the Lord. I've been talking about years ago and the services years ago. I remember back in 1971, 1972, Brother John, there's a revival broke out of Southern Baptist Church. I tell you, about 5 miles away, the crow flies from the church, from the house that we lived to the church. And I'll tell you, went a few days and met some Brother Cole. When it's all said and done, 102 people saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, listen, God can still do it. Everybody's not saved. I'm telling you, sinners need to get saved. By the grace of God, God still can. God still can. Do you believe He can? Somebody said you're crazy. Just call me crazy if you want to. I believe God can do anything He says He can do. And more too if He wants to. Well, let me give you this last one. I thought about this. If we're going to keep our life clean, we're going to have to refuse to let our loved ones die without Christ. Brother Harvey was preaching on that tonight. I'm telling you, we're going to have to refuse to let our loved ones die without Christ. Somebody said, well, we don't have power to save people. I know that. Somebody said, well, we don't have power to forgive sin. I know that. Somebody said, we don't have power to take and save people. I know that. I'm not that dumb. Praise God. I know all that. But I want to tell you, God has fixed it for how that we can have a part in people getting saved by the grace of God. Now, I know it's not like it used to be, but I won't tell you. Listen, now this might strike some of you the wrong way, but I remember back years ago, Brother Otis, I remember back years ago, every time the church got a burden, I'm talking about a burden for a lost person, they end up getting saved by the grace of God. I'm talking about everybody that the church ever got a burden for, how they got saved by the grace of God. Somebody said, what's the problem? We don't have a burden how like people used to. I'm telling them old timers how they would come and they'd gather around the altar. They'd weep and pray for those that's lost and undone without God. I will tell you, you'd see them out in the holler, out in the thicket somewhere, down by the barnyard, down by the corn crib, and you'd see them praying and they'd take and pull. I'll tell you, on them woods, pieces of wood, praying so hard and a begging God and a calling names out and saying, save them, God. Save them, God. If you don't save them, how they're dying, they're going to hell. Some of these youngers have never seen that. They've never seen that. They've never seen anybody. I'll tell you how praying and listen, calling people's name out in prayer. They wasn't ashamed of it. They had a burden. They wanted some birth in the mind of God. Before it's too late. Hey, look up here now. I'll tell you what our problem is. Seem like we got to the place that we don't care anymore. We get down and pray, and if God don't answer a prayer first time or two, I tell you, we're ready to take and cut her off. I believe with all my heart, Brother John. Listen, somebody said, preacher, I prayed. What do you expect me to do? Keep praying, amen. Hey, and I believe a lot of times, about the time God's getting ready to break in on a miracle, we let the devil talk us out of it. We throw our hands up and say, there ain't no use. Can I tell you tonight? Listen, as long as there's life, listen, there's an opportunity for be saved. We need to keep calling the name out in prayer. I'm telling you, we need a pardon. We need a pardon for the lost people. Hey, they's talking about Brother Robbie and his dear wife surrendering in that meeting. What caused them to take and surrender and leave everything and go to a foreign country to tell people about Jesus? I'll tell you what it was. God give you a burden. God let you have a burden for them people. That's the reason why he's been there, 34 years. I'm going to tell you, still going back. I talked to a missionary the last part of last year. We was Brother Nichols' pastor. I'll tell you, went out to New Mexico and talked to a preacher that been a missionary in New Mexico, and he sat there at the table. They put a bounty on his head. He had to come out. But he sat there with tears running down his face. I said, I want to go back. You know the reason why? He had a burden. Now look up here now. How long's it been since you had a burden for somebody lost and undone without God? I don't want you to feel sorry for me and my wife, but we got a son that we ain't seen or talked to about for almost 3.5 years now. And I've had preachers that tell me, how can you lay down and go to sleep tonight and knowing one of your children, what kind of condition they're in? I'll tell you how to do it. Turning it over to God. I ain't quit praying. I ain't going to quit praying. I ain't a stopping. Brother Harvey, I ain't a quitting. That's what the devil says. Quit. You ain't a doing no good. Quit. If I wasn't doing no good, why does the devil want me to quit? Hey, God ain't never said quit. Hey, the devil wasn't the one that called me. I'll tell you, I told Brother Harvey, I said, I wasn't the one that wanted to call. God's the one that put a call on me. I'll tell you, I was just minding my own business and in a church, old-fashioned church. And I'll tell you, where old-fashioned preaching, I was going on, was trying to get the front seats and get there early. And I'll tell you, the old man of God, I'm preaching just as hard as he could. And I want to tell you, I said, God, I'd like to preach if I could preach like that. And I'll tell you, a little while, God woke me up one morning, and I'll tell you, God, my Bible. I sat down in that old black chair that my wife was sitting in, opened the Bible. I didn't have no Bible education, still don't. I never did go to Bible college, but I'll tell you, I opened the blessed Word of God, and God took and gave me a message. I'll tell you, about 3 or 4 points, every one of them alliterated. Praise God, 2 or 3 points under the 4 or 5. I'll tell you, hey, I'll let you, when I come to myself, I said the Bible, I said, God, I can't do that. I cannot do it. I'll let you, people make me nervous. I'm going to tell you, I can't get around me. I'm going to tell you, I can't that. Brother Robbie, I can't that. After over 6 years, and me and my wife come in from church, one September night, 1981, we put our oldest son to bed, which we got in the living room. room. And then my wife got down by the couch out there in the living room floor at somewhere between the late hours of Wednesday night and the early hours of Thursday morning. I praise God. When I come up, I said, yes, God, I can. Yes, God, I can. And every time I think about it, God says, yes, He can. Yes, you can. You can't do nothing without me. But you can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens. I'm going to tell you, you can for the glory of God. You can. Sometimes so many people says, can God? Even in the Psalms, they said, can God? Can God prepare a table? Sure He can. And I'm going to tell you tonight, friend, listen, this is not something to play with. This is something that's serious. God is just as serious as He can be. And I'm telling you, I believe our time is nearing the end. We're about ready to leave here. I'm not talking about just leaving the church. We're about ready to leave planet Earth. Praise God, we're going to heaven. But let me say this in closing tonight. On a scale from 1 to 10, how clean is your life in the eyes of God? Are you saved? I take it everybody's saved. I hope you are. I pray you are. But how clean is your life in the eyes of God? You want to be used of God? You want God to use you? You say, can God use me? Sure He can, if you're one of His children. And if you'll keep your life clean, somewhere along this life's journey, God's going to use you. God, in spite of yourself, if you know what I used to be, God used me. He can use us. He can use us. There's been a lot said about this week in these 16 messages you've already heard. And you still got tomorrow, probably 4 or 5 in the morning, 2 tomorrow night. How many years that, brother? No. 20, 22, maybe 22, 21, 22 messages that you get to hear. But if you don't watch it, if you don't do what God wants you to do, I tell you what, the devil will steal it away from you. And when the meeting's over, and the last thing Ben has said tomorrow night, you'll go away in a lot worse condition than you was when the meeting started. That's not what this is for. This is to help us and pick us up and get us up where we be what the Lord wants us to be. I believe God wants us to rejoice, don't you? Somebody said, preacher, you're just saying that just to say something. No, I'll tell you what the Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Verse number 4, He said, rejoice always. You ever looked that word always? Huh? You know the reason why? We're saved all the time. And then before we close the verse out, He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It's been a while since you rejoiced. Somebody said, you asked too many questions. That's how I find out things, asking questions.
Yeah, amen.
You want to rejoice? I believe there's a lot of people saved that don't want to rejoice. Yeah. It embarrasses them.
Yeah.
But God wants you to. God wants you to. Brother John, if I took too much time, I'm sorry. Forgive me. This is what God sent back here tonight. God changed my mind on the message. The Lord said, this is what I want you to preach. Do you want to keep your life clean? In 2014, God fixed it where you could. Let's stand tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for letting us be here. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Brother John, his family, and all these people that's come. Thank you, Lord, for these preachers and the churches and their ministries, God, that you put them in. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us, Lord, that we would get to where we refuse some things, and Lord, you would help us that we would say no to the devil and yes to the sweet Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. Please, God, I pray. Lord, have your way in the service tonight, I pray. I know it's getting late. People's tired. People's been here about all day. Lord, I understand that. But
Oh God, I think this is one of the most important things we'd be doing tonight, what we're doing for the cause of Christ. Lord, I pray that we might search our hearts and our lives out and see how clean that we really are. Lord, if we want to stay clean for you, there's some things we're going to have to refuse. Help us, God, I pray, to say no to some things. Lord, do what needs to be done right now. Lord, I thank you for your promise for the preaching of the Word of God. You said not return void, but accomplish that which you please. Do now, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen.